This church, the day God planted us, has always been about the presence of God. It's about attracting and being and seeking and desiring more of the presence of God. And because that's God's original plan. God's original plan when he made Adam and he made Eve is that he put them in a garden. There was no church, there was no religion, there was no ritual, but they simply dwelled in his manifest presence. And at night, God would walk and talk with Adam and Eve. And Psalm 1 or Psalm 8 says that when God made man, he crowned him with honor and glory. That means he crowned him. Glory is the manifest presence of God. That he crowned him with the manifest presence of God. And so Adam knew God experientially. He knew him. And he walked with him. Talked with him. God was a reality to him. And as a pastor, some of the saddest things I ever hear is where people sometimes have said to me, "Pastor, I don't feel like I know God. I don't experience God." Father, as we come to your word today, Father, I prophesy that every single person in this house will be able to say, "I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear his voice. He touches my heart. He is changing my life. He's making me more like him. And it is real." Father, I prophesy reality and relationship in this house, and I condemn every spirit of religion from this day forward, in Jesus' name. Amen. Where was I? Yeah, and so it saddens me when people say they can't experience God, because we are made to experience God. And God crowned him with God crowned them with his presence. And God's initial plan was to put Adam and Eve in a garden, that they would know him, they would hear from him, they would hear what he said, and from that place of living in his presence, they would then exercise dominion and authority and extend his reign and the knowledge of God to the nations. So this house is always, the focus has always been the presence of God, and because the presence of God has been here, we are able to go to nations, to bring them under the dominion and the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what this church is about. But without the presence of God, without the manifest presence of God, without living in reality and relationship and having life with him, we've got nothing to give nations. I've got nothing even to give my children. Because everything comes out of presence and glory. And the vision of this church is that the presence and glory would be manifest in this house. I tell you, church, there's got to be glory in the church. There's got to be glory in the church. There's got to be people coming in here saying, "I don't know what their doctrine is. I don't even know what they believe, but all I know is God's there. All I know is when I go to that church, I get touched by God. He touches me and it's real and I'm being changed." That is the vision of this church. Always has been, right from the get-go. And God wants a people. I might not preach, I just might speak about glory, because it's so important that we have glory. In the walk of Moses came to know God. And he came to know God so well. He came to know the presence of God. The presence of God became so real to him that it became the most important thing in his life. God had told Moses and called him to lead the people into the promised land. That was the promise, that you will enter the promised land. And in Exodus 33, when Moses is about to enter the promised land, he says, "How am I going to go in there, God? How am I going to go? Because there's giants there. We failed there last time." And his whole life has been about inheriting this promise to go into the promised land. But he's been living in the tabernacle and fellowshipping with God all the way through the wilderness. And when he gets to the edge of the wilderness, he comes to that place and he says, "God, how are we going to go in this time?" And God says to him, "My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest." See, if you live in the presence of God, you're always at rest. You're never worried if the presence of God is on your life. There's no anxiety in the presence of God. And Moses then says to God, If your presence, the presence of God had been so, become so valuable to him, he said, if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go. Don't send me up. In other words, if your presence doesn't go, forget the promise. Forget the promise. I want your presence more than anything else. And that's what we want to be as a place. We don't want to go anywhere if God doesn't go with us. His presence is the key to everything. If he is with us, if his manifest presence is with us, we cannot fail. Because God doesn't fail. Having his presence in our life was everything. And then after Moses had his presence in his life, had experienced the presence of God, he said this. He said in Exodus 34. He said, God, I've known your presence. You've been with me. But he said, now, God, if I've pleased you, in verse 18, show me your glory. The glory. It's lovely because the presence of God gives us warmth and the power of God brings us victory. But the glory of God reveals God himself. And Moses said, now, I want to experience. I want to see your glory. And God said to Moses, he hit him in a cave and he said, the Lord will pass by you and reveal the glory. In verse 8, he goes past and it says, the Lord descended in a cloud, proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him, proclaimed the Lord, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And that's when God revealed his glory to Moses. Because when the glory of God when the glory of God comes, it reveals the attributes of God, that he is merciful. It reveals that he's long-suffering. Reveals that he's compassionate. Reveals goodness of God and truth. And when Moses was going through the desert, the glory of God would come as a cloud. The glory of God would enter the tabernacle. And he would experience the glory. He would actually experience the presence of God manifest in a way. And there is a place that God wants us to bring all of us into, because when Adam was in the garden, God crowned him with his presence, with his manifest presence. His presence was on his life. And he when Adam sinned, it was crowned with presence and glory. And when he sinned, it says Adam was immediately aware when God came to him and says, where are you, Adam? And Adam made a fig leaf and covered himself and knew he was naked. But it wasn't just, he didn't just realize he was physically naked. Much more important, he realized that he had lost the glory covering. He'd lost his glory. And the wonderful thing is, Christ has brought us back into a place. He's called the second Adam. He's brought us back into a place where we again can live crowned in the presence of God and glory. Crowned with the manifest presence of God upon our life in the Holy Spirit. And it's so important that we have a hunger for that, because so many people try to live the Christian life out of principles rather than his presence. And the principles are important. They work. When you apply them to your life, they work. They bring truth. But the original plan was not for Adam to live out of directions in a book. It was to live out of intimacy and relationship, glory and presence, to have a real connection to God. And there's times where just dwelling in his presence. Who knows some things that are wasteful to man are beautiful to God? There's a woman who once poured out a year's worth of salary, perfume that cost a year's worth of salary, on Jesus' feet, poured it all out. And the disciples said, this is wasteful. Spending time in the presence of God. Some people will think that's wasteful. But I tell you, God thinks it's beautiful. Just dwelling in his presence. In fact, God's ways are not our ways. It says, what got Joshua promoted to be Joshua, to take over from Moses, was that Moses would go into the tabernacle and spend time in the presence of God. And it says, and as he left, Joshua would linger a little longer. God chose him because he was a lover of God, not a user of God. There's a mystery about the manifest presence of God because it's a spiritual experience of God. But when you come into a place, who's ever been in the prayer meeting? We're so blessed as a church. We have prayer meetings because every time we have a prayer meeting, the presence of God comes as we worship. Has everyone experienced that? I can't tell you what happens when, how important it is when you're just there, or in your own prayer closet. You go into the morning and you put a little bit of praise and worship on, and you just wait for the Holy Spirit to come and the presence of God to come into that place, and you just linger and you wait for Him, the Holy Spirit, and then you just abide, spend time fellowshipping with Him in His presence, listening, not talking, listening. I can't even tell you how. You know what happens when you sit in the presence and the glory of God. When you wait for Him like that, the Bible says you draw near to God, He draws near to you. And His manifest presence and glory comes into your prayer closet, or comes into the prayer room, or comes corporately into the church. But He actually comes in the Holy Spirit, and His glory manifests just like He did to Adam in the garden. Now, when that happens, you get edified. You get edified by that experience more than anything else, just by spending time with God. Sometimes people say to me, they say, oh, Pastor, I'm so busy. It's like they're impressing me. My work is so busy. I get up at 6. I can't, don't get to bed. That doesn't impress me at all. I just know that you can't grow with God that way. Because God wants us to dwell and spend time simply in His presence and glory. If you go to Ephesians 3, it's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. This passage, sometimes it's too intimidating to preach on it because it's so rich. And I want us to go to verse 14, chapter 3. And Paul prays, this is for the church of Ephesus, who's already in revival. And he says, this is what I pray for you. And he prays all these things. And he says, I pray that God would grant to you, first of all, in verse 16, you'd be strengthened with might through His Spirit, the inner man. You've got to be strengthened every day to get through. You have battles, you have challenges, but God wants to make you strong. In His presence is fullness of joy, but He wants to strengthen you daily. He wants Christ to actually dwell in your heart through faith. That speaks about the faith of God, not the faith in God. He wants to give you the very faith of Christ, that the faith of Christ would manifest in your life so you could believe His promises and you could receive them. He wants you, in verse 17, He wants that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you would be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of God. That means experience the love of God, to know how deeply you're loved by God. How important that is, because that perfect love casts out fear. But God wants you to know. He wants you to be strengthened. He wants your faith to be strong. He wants you to realize how deeply and how zealous He is for you, how much He cares for you. And He wants all that to be an experience. And then He wants you to experience the fullness, verse 19, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. What a promise. What a promise. And when you're filled with the fullness of God, you're capable of exceedingly abundantly above all you could imagine or think. He says, how's that going to happen? How does that happen for God's people? At the front and the back of that prayer, verse 21 says, to Him be glory in the church. And in verse 16 at the front, he said, I pray that God would grant you this according to the riches of His glory. And then he prays at the end, I pray that the glory be in the church. Those things happen to us. We are strengthened. Our faith becomes strong. We're reminded how much God loves us. We know that we're going to do exceedingly abundantly simply by dwelling in the manifest presence of God. having encounters with him in his glory. Some things are caught, they're not taught in the kingdom. If you go to 2 Corinthians 3, 7, 8, 18, these are all my favorite verses in all the Bible. I'm preaching my favorite stuff today. This is speaking about Moses, who would go up the mountain and meet with God. And when he would meet with God, he would go up the mountain. He'd spend days up there. And he'd have encounters with God. God would speak to him. And when he would come down, the people looked at him. And having been in the presence of God, it says his face shone so brightly, he had to put a veil over his face. Because he'd been in presence and glory of God. And now it says, now the Lord of the Lord is the Spirit in verse 17, chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians 3. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. When you're in that place, you're free. But we all with unveiled face, we don't need to veil our face because of the cross. We can freely come into the presence of God now, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Beholding him. Beholding the presence of God. As we behold him, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And saying, when we actually come and spend time in the manifest presence of God, when we actually seek him and the Holy Spirit comes, and we have an encounter in the Spirit with the risen Christ, we spend that time, it says, as we behold him, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed. First of all, you know what a mirror does? It reflects. When you're being in the presence of God, Moses was in the presence of God and his face shone. What is his face shone? His face shone the knowledge and the character and the image of God. That's why we pray these aren't just things we say at the end of the service, but we've got all these parts in Numbers. We call them whatever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That speaks about an experience in the presence of God where his face shines upon you and your countenance is changed. I can always tell when my wife's been in the presence of God. She's different. She comes out, she's different. There's something of God that's on her. And that then can be reflected as in a mirror to the world. But let me tell you this. It says, as we behold him, beholding the Lord, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image. It's so important what you behold. Why is it important what you behold? Because what you behold is what you become. Some people, they behold themselves and all their problems and all their deficiencies and all they ever see. They just behold their own world and it's death. Other people, they behold material things. What they see and what they focus on and what they're looking for is something material and it's dead. Other people, they behold their work. That's all they think about. It's all they dwell on. It's all they behold. So what occupies their mind and their thoughts? And they can't be changed in the likeness of Christ. But I want to tell you, it's so wonderful to know you don't have to change yourself. So many people also say, we try to change ourselves. God's plan is that you not change yourself. The Holy Spirit does the work. But as we've got to give time to behold him. And as we behold him, he does the work of changing us from one level of Christ's glory to the next level of Christ's glory. Simply by being in that place, we spend time, we see his majesty, we see his love, we see his compassion. We wait until he manifests. As we look and behold, you know, that actually requires, it actually requires times of contemplation and even meditation. Through the word, through the day, in your spirit, the eyes of your heart's going to be continued. You know, like there's a sunflower follows the sun. As our hearts continually look and behold and exalt Christ in that process. That's how day after day, year after year, week after, we're actually being changed. Being changed just by spending time in the presence. I remember reading about this this story years ago. It's out there and it's real. Michelangelo's finest painting, I forget what the name of it is, but he maintained that he never painted it. He maintained that he went into his studio and he was just spending time in the studio and he wanted to finish it, so he wouldn't leave the studio, but he got so tired that he fell asleep. And he hadn't finished the image. And he maintained that when he woke up, the image was the best image he ever painted, but he never painted it. He said an angel painted it. That was his testimony. That's what happens with us when we spend the time in the presence of God. Maybe wasted. You think, oh, it's a waste of time. God's doing a work in us. Just encounters. Encounters with God and his glory. And we've got to be a people who value those encounters. And as I said earlier, a lot of the church wants to live from principles rather than his presence. The principles are good, but they're always secondary to his presence. Fix your eyes, your spiritual eyes, on the things of God. Some people say to me, how come your church has so many prayer meetings? God can hear you once. He can. He hears us the first time. But the reason we have so many prayer meetings is that so we have opportunities for people to just come and get into the presence of God. Just dwell in his presence. Just dwell in the glory. And as you behold him, we're being changed. We become him. Who knows if you've got a problem and you go into the presence of God, you go to a prayer meeting, you come out with a different perspective. Psalm 73 speaks about that. My foot almost slipped. I couldn't understand. Then I went into the sanctuary. Then I understood. Because my mind has been transformed from a mind of flesh into the mind of Christ in the glory of God. What we want to do though, the presence of God and the glory of God though is it's particular about where it manifests. God is particular about where he lands. The Holy Spirit, his primary characteristic is that he's holy and he looks for landing places. This is your lives that are set apart. That's what holy means. Set apart from the world, set apart from idols. And then he says, I'll manifest there. I'll give that one the experience. And so I want to just show us quickly how we can attract the glory, more glory of God to our lives, because God wants to give us, it's from glory to glory, to go from one measure of encounter in his presence to another level. It's got to be it's a growth experience, more and more of his presence. And if you go to, I want to just look at the life of Moses. And you look at Exodus 40. Turn to Exodus 40. It's the second book in the Bible. And go to the end of that chapter, chapter 34. I love this. I love the someone read it out this morning about the tabernacle, the temple of God, where the glory came. And this is another time in verse 34. It says, the glory descended and covered the tabernacle of meeting. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the glory rested above it. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would be onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey all the day till it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Where's the tabernacle today? You are the tabernacle. And God wants you not only filled, but he wants you covered. When you're covered with the glory, you're protected. Nothing can touch your life. God wants your life filled with His Spirit, but also covered. And the glory came and filled the tabernacle, and it covered the tabernacle. The glory of God's got to not only fill us, the Holy Spirit, but also it's got to rest over us. How wonderful to have an anointing so strong. They were not able to enter the tabernacle. Glory of the Lord so filled it. But didn't just happen for Moses. There's reasons why his life was so covered with glory and his life was so filled with encounters with the presence of God, and why he met with God so God spoke with him and he heard from God. He had an experience of God. He had a real work with God, not a doctrine or theology of God, but he knew God. And the glory would come and he would encounter God. You know that is still happening today. God is still manifesting his glory in people's prayer closets and encountering them so they can hardly speak. It's so wonderful. Once you've had encounters like that with God, you're forever his and you never doubt. You just know him. You know, some people, they doubt their salvation because they haven't had the encounter yet. But I just remember once I was in India and I had an encounter. I was just ready. I was just in a hotel room. I was just so surprised. Just ready to get on the plane and go. And it was the night before we were going to fly off into the region where we were going, and God just came into the room. And when he came into the room, I was on my face, and his glory and his presence was so holy that I felt like I had to get out of the way. And for an hour and a half, I could not get up. I was prostrate. I could not get, no matter what I tried to do, I couldn't get up. Now, I tell that not to draw attention to myself, but I'm just telling you, the glory of God, the encounter was with God. There's many other times I've encountered the presence of God, but this is what God wants for all of us, to experience him, because in those encounters with him, we are being changed so much. We can behold him in his word, but we behold him in the spirit as well. What attracts the glory of God to your life? What attracts the manifest presence of God? I want to show you. The glory filled the temple. But Moses had done something before that. The glory came into the tabernacle. That was the tabernacle. It covered the tabernacle. That's the tabernacle which Moses himself had built. God had given him the instruction. But first of all, before he even built the tabernacle, in Exodus 24, God said to Moses, come up to me in the mountain and be there. Just as it was, sorry, come up to me and be there. You know, God loves you more than you love God. He enjoys you more than you enjoy him. When you're in the presence of God, you're his child. We are the children of God. Who enjoys being in the presence of their children? And who gets upset when their children won't come to them, won't spend time with them? Well, God is a father, and he so enjoys when we come up to him. Coming up the mountain today is just the equivalent of going into your prayer closet. But Moses, God called Moses, come up to me. In verse 15, Moses went up the mountain, and then a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. But the sight of the glory was like a consuming fire. Before we get to know the glory, we've got to go up the mountain. That is, we've got to go and respond to God's call to spend time with him. Do you know, in our instant world, this is our instantaneous world that wants instant satisfaction, everything done now. One of the greatest challenges for the Christian church now is to set aside proper time with God. And I know I labor this point. But nothing happens unless we sup with him. Nothing happens unless we give him time. Nothing transformational happens. Who knows, anything in the life doesn't come cheaply. But to attract the glory, we're going to be someone who actually hears the voice of the Holy Spirit when he's calling us aside. Turn the television off. Turn the radio off. Get off the internet. Go to bed early or whatever, just so you can spend time with him. You are, when you do that, you're actually qualifying yourself for divine encounter. So he went up the mountain, and up the mountain, God spoke to him and gave him instructions for the tabernacle. Now, if we go back to chapter 39 and 40, when God spoke to him, in chapter 39 and 40, there is something so wonderful. It's repeated about, I don't know, 30 times or something. I don't know. I didn't count it, but it's repeated over and over again. And it says, God told him to build the tabernacle. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 39, and of the purple, blue, and scarlet thread, they made garments of ministry for ministering in the holy place, and made the holy garments for Aaron, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And it goes on in verse 6, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He put shoulders of the ephod and memorial stones. Verse 7, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 21, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 26, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 29, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Into chapter 40, thus Moses did according to all the Lord had commanded him, so he did. In verse 19, as the Lord had commanded Moses, as the Lord had commanded Moses again in verse 21, over and over and over it goes. There's about 18 times it repeats the word that Moses did as the Lord commanded him. If we go to John 14, Jesus said something very, very similar. Jesus said this, never underestimate what obedience is doing for you in your spiritual walk. In John 14, Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me by keeping the commandments, he'll be loved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. He who has my commandments and knows them. No, he who has my commandments and does them. That's not always easy. But when you are being hurt by someone and you forgive them, when you are tempted to look at something on the internet and you turn it off, when you want to gossip about someone and you keep your mouth closed, every one of those acts, every one of those little acts of obedience is positioning your life for encounter. And every time you disobey the voice of the Holy Spirit, you speak or you do or you disobey, you disqualify yourself from that encounter God was going to give you tomorrow morning. Simple obedience is so, so powerful. It's just so powerful. And God, the fear of God is, you know what the fear of the Lord means? It's the knowledge that God sees everything. And he's waiting to bless. He's always waiting to bless. He's always waiting to bless the obedience. And the way he blesses the obedience is manifesting his glory. There's nothing more important. Moses, glory of God came into that tabernacle. Presence of God invaded that place. Because Moses just wasn't brilliant, wasn't a preacher, wasn't special. He just did as the Lord had commanded him. He lived his life before God as someone who is under command. Some people today, some many Christians today, there are commandments in this book. God commands us, you know. But some people treat the Word of God as though it's a suggestion that if it suits me, I'll obey it. If I can see the benefit of it, I'll obey it. If I see it's going to benefit me, I'll do it. But I tell you, there's a level that God wants us to beyond that, where we simply obey it because we know this is how we demonstrate love to God. He said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And every act of obedience, every act is positioning us for encounters with his presence, with his encounters, with his glory. And I always say to someone, that if they say, I've known the presence of God, but I don't feel it, I'm not experiencing God, I always say to people, where have you lost your obedience? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you where the disobedience is. And as soon as you identify it, repent of it. He's so quickly to forgive. The glory of God comes back in our life. The beauty of being transformed, being changed. And then it says here, Moses did as the Lord had commanded him. And finally it says in verse 33 of chapter 34, just before the encounter, the glory covered the tabernacle. Moses finished the work. Moses finished the work God gave him. God loves a finisher. If we want to be covered, our lives want to be not only filled with the Spirit, but covered in glory, protected all the time, encounters with God, attract the glory of God, angels over our life, we're going to go up the mountain, we're going to be committed to obedience to Him, but we're also going to be finishers, finishing the work God gives us is so important. God, some people, they're just always changing from here to there, to here to there, to here to there, here to there, to here to there. God only asks you to do one thing, to stay with it until God says something else is very, very powerful. Just to be someone who follows through. So many people today, they don't follow through. When it gets difficult, they abandon it. They look for something easier. You could even do that with ministry. Pick up ministries that God never ordered. He told you to do the thing in the first thing. But finishing the things God gives you to do. God may just tell you to love your children for a season. You've got to finish that. Stick with it. It's the area of obedience. I feel the Holy Spirit just wants to. He wants to just convict us today that these are not, these stories here, it's not a history book. When we find that the glory of God came into the tabernacle, the presence of God was so strong they couldn't even enter it. God wants you to sometimes have encounters with Him in your own prayer closet at home, or your own walk, or just even experience Him in your car, when the glory of the Holy Spirit comes in so strongly that you say, I feel like I can't speak, I feel like I can't stand. God is just all over me. God is speaking to me. God is pouring His love out upon me. God is pouring out His blessing upon me. I just know there's a covering over my life. I walk, I feel it, I experience it. I just know that even if I do something wrong, I'm protected by the glory, by the covering of God over my life. That's not a theory. That's an experience. That's a knowledge we have. I've been in some dangerous places with God. Once I was in Indonesia, and I was in a really, really dangerous place years before I was even in this church. And I remember walking through this station when someone was doing the wrong thing by me, and I could just feel the anointing all around me. And people say, aren't you afraid in certain situations? If the anointing, if the glory of God is upon your life, you're never afraid. You're never afraid. You may see scary things, but you know that God is with me, God is covering me. That cloud that covered Moses is covering my life. And through simple commitment, day after day, the best I can to obey Him. I'm not clever. I'm not the best preacher. But I do think I've got the obedience thing down pat. Moses did all he commanded him. And it positioned him for encounters in the glory of God. Church, there's got to be glory in the church. There's got to be glory in our lives. And God, in the original place, He crowned mankind. He crowned Adam with glory and honor. And God wants to rest upon your life. God wants you to reflect Him. God wants to be seen upon you. And that happens to the degree which you simply behold Him. Question today, obey Him. Just as I finish, ask the question today, what do you behold? That would be, what is the thing you think most about? What is the thing you think most about during the day? Just lifting your heart's eyes as the Holy Spirit prompts you periodically during the day to Jesus. Oh, I see his face. I see his majesty. I see his beauty. I'm constantly looking for him in my world. As we do that, we're becoming what we're beholding. We are becoming the very thing we behold most. Let's just bow our heads. Father, you gave me this word because you want to release this church into a new season of encounters with you. Father, you want to bring your glory and your presence not only to this church every week, but Father, you want your glory to follow and to touch and to cover every member of this church. Father, it is your will that every member of this church be encountered in the Holy Spirit, hear your voice, feel your love, be strengthened in the inner man, to know that we are exceedingly abundantly capable of great things according to the power that you've put in us. And Father, all this comes through encounters according to the riches of your glory. Father, where there is disobedience in the lives of any of us, Father, by your mercy today, I ask that you release the grace to obey you. I thank you that you are so quick to forgive. Father, if we are beholding dead things, Father, let us exchange that thing for the beauty, the word, the image, the face of Jesus Christ. Let us constantly throughout our day simply turn to you by faith. Like the sunflower follows the sun. And let our lives be so crowned with your Holy Spirit, that people will see Jesus' character reflected in our lives, Lord. Father, that people will start to see the goodness, the long-suffering, the mercy, the very grace of Jesus in and through me, every other person in this church. Let us be able to come into that place in the morning, Lord. In your presence is fullness of joy. Let us be able to be experienced every day the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. You say, your presence has made me exceedingly glad. Let us be a people who start every day not mad or sad, but simply glad, because there's been a divine exchange made simply by being in your presence. Father, I prophesy divine encounters over this church. I prophesy experiences with you in the prayer closet. I prophesy touches of you on our hearts that only you could do. I prophesy that people's ears being open to hear your voice. I prophesy that people will see the very life and glory and beauty of Jesus. And I prophesy a transformed people in this church. Amen. From one level of glory to the next level of glory. And Lord, we know that you are jealous for that glory. You are jealous for your glory. We say everything that we ever accomplish, ever have accomplished, we give all the honor and all the glory. We continue to release it back to you, Lord. We continue to cast our crowns before you and give you all your manifest glory and honor. Father, I thank you. You've got a new season for us here, Lord. Deeper encounters. Someone here, you had a habit of going into the prayer closet. You were having great experience with God, and something's drawn you back out. God is calling you back into a season of supping with you, Somebody here, you feel like you're leaking, like the love of God was in you and it's leaked out. God is calling you back into that prayer closet. He's going to fill you up with the love of God according to the riches of His glory. Somebody else is struggling to believe God. God says, just come into my presence, sit in my glory, and your faith will be strengthened. Not only your faith, you'll receive the faith of God into you. Somebody else feels like they have no power to overcome. God says, come into my glory. I'm going to fill your life with victory, overcoming. Glory, Lord. Glory in the church. Glory in our lives. Glory. Cover us. Let every person here, Lord, know that covering, Lord. Experiencing. Just to walk and experiencing the touch of the Holy Spirit on our lives. Know your goodness and your love. According to the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus. And we pray all that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.